This is the audio recording for the Candia Board of Selectmen meeting for March 11th, 2024.
Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
March 11th.
Thank you.
Sorry,
Russ.
So,
Boyd.
Brian.
Passed.
Perfect. Okay.
You want us to wait for a minute, Linda? Catch
whatever
your breath?
You
whatever you want. We want to go home, but that can't happen. No.
We can do the minutes.
Long day tomorrow.
They weren't
yes.
too long.
I move the minutes from February 26th be approved as presented.
I'll second.
Any corrections or discussions? Seeing none, all in favor?
Russ.
Sue.
Boyd.
Brian.
Pat.
Thank you. All right, department reap. Do you have to get out of here?
I mean,
you don't. Okay, so you don't mind if we do the.
You get paid by the hour.
Okay. You get paid by the hour. Highway. Jeffrey.
All right, so for the month of February, we had a pretty light month as far as winter was concerned. We only had two probable storms, four spreader runs. As far as February goes, it's pretty easy.
But nice.
It was actually pretty good. So
recording in
with
progress.
The light winter and kind of warm winter we've had, we've been doing some dirt work, and we did shoulder work on Hook Road, and we did shoulder and drainage work on Old Candia, and then patching as needed, which is pretty typical.
That held up pretty good on Old Candia.
Yeah.
Even with all that rain we got.
I'm gonna see what happens when we get a 6-7 inch storm.
What happened on Courier though? That was a problem with a bus or something? Courier Road?
Where they
had to turn around, there was a car stuck.
That was on the Deerfield.
Yeah.
Portion.
It was on the Deerfield
that was
portion.
On Candia,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I actually drove by that guy. He was in just a Toyota.
It over his head.
Right up to the
yeah.
rockers.
Yeah,
I mean, that road still floats on that side of
it. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Oh, does
yeah, it? And I think what throws a lot of people off is they come in the part of Courier that like we redid.
Right.
And then they get to the part that's not redone.
Oh.
And they kind of, I just don't think they expect it, like if they're not familiar with the road.
Mm.
Are there discussions with Deerfield about maybe just that little bit and finishing it? Or?
I have not spoken with them about it. I don't know that that's something that they've really.
Do you know Pete Chiverhoot?
Yeah.
They don't even like going over there to plow, so.
Well, to be honest, I think they probably focused on some of their other roads before they focused on this part of Courier.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who knows?
All right. Continue, sir.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
What I was going to say about Old Candy, there was a culvert that was, it was completely buried. It wasn't even draining. So
right.
I think it will get better for sure. It definitely drains better than it did. The water goes where it's supposed to now. I don't know when the last time that road had the ditches and the shoulder like actually cleaned up, but it definitely had been a while because we were digging up glass Pepsi bottles from
that still were.
I mean, I don't even know how old.
1955.
yeah, those were collected probably.
So yeah, we'll see.
Mm. No, they held up good.
Be a lot better.
It held up good. The water went where it's supposed to. I had one person mention something that about the paved section on South Road,
okay.
Where you didn't back up the shoulders,
yep.
and the pavement is started to crack in
yeah.
a few places.
Yeah, we're gonna get shoulder gravel on that.
Okay, because
yeah.
that's really important, especially after we're not gonna ever probably get back to that
yeah.
section of South Road in our lifetime.
Yep.
Well, he's younger than we are.
Our lifetime, I said.
Oh, yeah. I think about our lifetime.
And I don't expect to die tomorrow. Still. I never know.
Well, depends how this meeting goes.
Go
ahead.
Good. So, what, you going to do it before you do the other section this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody got anything else for Road Agent?
How's Donovan looking?
It's definitely potholed right now, but we are grading this week. We're spring grading.
Thank you.
So that should be taken care of.
Good. Anybody else?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you. Police.
Good evening. I bring good news. We have a candidate potentially for the next meeting to bring on board.
finally, if everything goes well, we have a psychological test needs to be done. Once that's done, the background's been completed, we would bring her forward to the board and get your approval.
So and she's got a firm handshake. So
what?
She's got a firm handshake.
Nice.
That's needed. That's needed. That's good.
Yeah. And she's got an interesting background, too, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And she's done some ride-alongs with the officers, and they feel that she'd be a good fit.
Good.
I'm trying to get the person.
Is she working for another police department?
No.
Now?
No.
Okay.
She's green. She's got college education.
Yeah, okay. Put her through the academy.
She's going to go to the academy.
In June.
June.
And we figure if we hire and get her on the road a couple months ahead of time and get her trained, she'll be that much further along. So when she gets out of the academy, we can put in the work.
Okay.
And then are we short anybody then? Or
We still are, but we're looking at other people. Put the ad back up on Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple other people lined up, and then they disappeared.
Yeah.
Did that signing bonus attract this candidate? Is that how you... were able to get her interest?
Not necessarily, no. No, not really having much luck with that.
Yeah, money doesn't motivate them.
We're not spending it, then.
As soon as we meet with the candidate, we offer her, the lieutenant said, that's an eye-opening, so that's a plus for us.
Mm-hmm.
So.
To keep them coming back.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then, basically, we've been dealing with juveniles all month. All kinds of school issues, school-related stuff.
Yes.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of issues?
Well, they have safe school reports to file, whether it's second graders making threats or sixth graders. But then there was a pretty substantial, it caused quite a bit of alarm. We can't get into it, but the lieutenant investigated it, worked with the school, the superintendent's office, and Rick did a good job with it, and got a hold of all the parents, and was... quite substantial, we'll leave it at that, but
apparently
there was no threat.
You don't need a license anymore to drive, huh?
That too.
You don't?
Well, not according to the list there.
Well, I was thinking about this morning's fiasco.
Oh, yeah.
It's a busy day today.
Yeah.
A lot of trees down today. Jeff's been out there.
River.
Yeah, that too.
He was ignoring that.
I'm telling you.
Good. We had someone in someone's house. We had a car crash. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock this morning. Car almost went into the lamprey. Person's missing. So Phil McPherson called out the state police. They came in with a bloodhound. This is about 8:30 now. Fast forward. That's when the trooper got there. Nobody could find this person. And then a resident found a person in their house. We found the person. So that person went to the Elliott Hospital and subsequently got arrested.
Really? Just abandoned the car?
Yeah.
Were they all wet?
Yeah, but the poor people thought they might have been in the river.
Who was that?
Got off the whisper one more time.
I do.
Nobody got hurt. Anything.
Did you get the car out of the river?
Bobby?
To get the car out of the river?
It just about went in, almost.
Oh.
Was alcohol involved?
Don't know at the time, but we have a video of it going off the road. A home camera.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Whose camera?
I'm not actually sure whose it was.
Residents.
You probably can't
see. Yeah, residents.
Yeah.
Generic residents.
Generic resident. And we're also getting the motorcycle complaints of starting up with the spinning tires and the donuts.
Oh, with the nice weather?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Get a
we're just
crazy.
As frustrated, believe me.
That's sand on the road.
We had an incident when they took off on an officer all the way down High Street in the Hooksett. They wouldn't stop. Blue lights, they would not stop. So they kept going, and they went going at a high rate.
Do you call Hooksett and say they're coming your
yeah.
way?
So,
and they wouldn't stop for them either?
Well, they got to
be there.
It's
just a vicious circle. They did officers, Hooksett police. They just keep going.
It's that potty house in Hooksett.
And nobody follows them because it turns into a liability.
Well, yes. You'd hit
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you have to call it off, and they know this.
Yeah, we call it off. They know it. They put it on Instagram. They put it on social media. There's a website. They put these pictures and these videos on there.
Don't they have a license plate on the back of their little motorcycle?
Not when it's hidden. Distracted.
It's so small you can hardly see it anyway.
Yeah.
And they have helmets and stuff. You don't know who they are. So
we're doing our best. I mean, if anybody sees it or whatever, please call us, but...
Things are changing.
Well, they have.
We need the cowboy up, I think.
Yeah.
We need the police.
Yeah. What else you got?
I think that's about it.
Anybody got any questions?
No.
Other than what we've already done?
Anything I'm missing?
Thank you. Fire.
I got it right here. Hang on. I had it here. Last month was a little bit slow, but wow. Over a call a day, a total of 32 calls, 19 EMS calls, and 13 fire calls. So, at least, you know, 19 EMS calls, that's one every weekday. And that shows the need for that ambulance service there. I don't know who else was making those calls, you know, responding to those calls before we had that service, but boy, we kept them busy.
And now, when you go on the fire, does the ambulance go to a fire call or not?
Accidents.
Accidents they do, but I don't know if they do fire.
And the fire trucks go to the accident if they're on the highway or whatever, I guess. That's what Dean said was going on.
Anybody got anything else for Blake? No? Building.
Bob's not on Zoom, is he?
Oh. I don't think so. I can't right now.
Probably tried to get on at 6:30 and what the heck was that? Suppose he would have unmuted by now if he was.
No, doesn't look like it.
No.
Nope.
All right, it looks like February. Got 43 inspections, 37 permits. Revenue of $3,550. Year to date, $9,879. Code enforcement. The list is still there.
What's happening here? What happened? That it dropped so.
Yeah, it's a big drop.
It's like a third of what it was last year. And we raised the prices.
It's called Bidenomics. Not working in our favor.
I'll agree with you, but I won't bring it up here.
I'll bring it up anywhere.
Yeah.
The permits were up, but obviously they're not the expensive permits.
Yeah, probably a lot of gas permits and stuff.
Well, permits were down, Brian.
Yeah, from 37.
They were 48, no. Now they're 37.
Oh, yeah, 48, 37, yeah.
Yeah, he's got it going got it. The other way. Yeah. Yeah.
It'll catch back up.
It's been coming.
Yeah, well, see, there was four families
in
23. There's nothing in 24. Those are larger, much larger permits. Cost-wise.
Solar panels, five of them.
You know about this one, right?
Yeah. Remember that?
What he called up. Busted.
Good. Any other questions for Patrick?
It looks like violations and complaints, so this one's complaints and it is separate violations. Separate, a lot of violations.
Extensive list.
A lot of violations, but lots of people pulled permits, so.
Well, we've got some that have been cleaned up, so that's...
Yeah.
That's,
yep. The usual,
right?
The regulars,
the biggies are still there, but all right.
Well, some of these are from 2022
exactly.
Is going way back, so yeah.
But they pulled permits, it looks like. So,
solid waste,
total waste 73 tons for February, compared to 64 and a half tons February of 2023. The bales, 24 bales this for February, and which was 16, almost 17 tons of baled material. Revenue was $979, but for year to date is $11,461. 21 tons of cardboard marketed, thanks to Amazon, probably.
Wow.
You know, which brought in $2,200 worth of profit. $2,200. Light iron marketed generated $979, and 20 tons of mixed paper marketed, and that was $1,500, which has not been received yet. But it's, you know, a lot of bales and a lot of tonnage.
Good.
That's almost double the income, though, the revenue.
Right.
This revenue, yes.
Well, some of that's carryover from 23 anyways, right?
Pardon?
Some of that revenue is probably carried from 23 because it didn't come in from 23.
Well, he usually says something on there, but what I'm saying, I was thinking what you're talking about. Yeah, there's some of that bales that were done in 23.
Correct.
And shipped in 24. Right. It's just no way.
But if you average the two together, and that's not too bad. Anything that you want to share with from the budget, Sue? Or?
No, they don't. They didn't have a meeting this month because they don't know what the budget's going to be.
Okay. And the planning board, we had a case that we're working on up on High Street across from Donovan Road. That's the only case that we're presently working on.
Yeah, I ask a question about that.
Yeah.
Are duplexes allowed?
They went through the ZBA there. They're okay that way, but there are other issues that we've got to deal with them.
I just
but
didn't know they were allowed.
There's three units that he's proposing to put in there.
Where is that, on Seward's old property?
No.
Across from Donovan Road.
Oh, okay.
Across from Donovan Road.
Across from Donovan Road. Where Desolus used to live.
The dog That's, place.
Yeah.
Right.
Between that and the guy that
he wants to build
three. There's three duplexes, two of these ones is six units in all, but some water three issues. Buildings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Water issues over there.
Yeah, but two of them are elevated, so they have walk-in basements, and one is going to be degraded. So he's been working on the.
And a big barn, is it, or a big storage?
The big barn is going to be his. That's out further. Out further back.
Is he going to tear down Desolates?
Yes. Yeah, that's coming down.
It's too bad you couldn't rent that. That's a nice small house.
It
for,
is a nice style
for a
home
young,
or an older
family
couple.
Or
yeah.
A, yeah.
Oh. Anything else for department reports? Anybody got anything they want to share? No? All right. New business. We have
the
ZBA person that does not want to be, does not want to re-up.
Nope.
So I did talk to Judy actually today, and she is going to, after they meet, she is going to have a recommendation from the ZBA for us to appoint from there.
She does have one?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah, from their alternates. So.
Okay. Do you need a motion for that? Or not?
Not until.
No, just his term is just running out. He's just not re-up.
Just
for your information.
Yeah. All right. Now we get into the good stuff, Mr. Lambert. He got pitches. Great.
A few pitches. So, Bill Lambert, I'm the State Highway Safety Active Transportation Administrator. Prior to that, 23 years as state traffic engineer. So I think the last time I was in front of this board, we were talking about the speed limit on 27, so 5-10 years ago, something like that. So glad to be back. I know that we have a project, the department has a project on Main Street, further up on 43 where there's a skewed crossing. And our project manager, Loretta Gerard Doughty, was here for a meeting a month or two so ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talked to somebody, and then this intersection at 43 and Old Candia Road came up. Chief McGillan and I have had the conversation, so things have changed in the department in recent years as far as how we treat some of these problem locations that we keep coming back to time and time again. We make modest improvements, and yet that continue to have crashes, and we haven't changed behavior. So I offered to come in here and talk about some of that, and then just have a discussion about what some of the countermeasures we could take advantage of. This would be, and I apologize, we did this a presentation recently in Leominster. Anybody in the room know where Leominster is?
Leominster.
So there's not a lot of
is it west?
My wife says anything that she doesn't recognize is near Keene, and in that case, she would have been right.
Yeah, west.
So we have a group of people that are, I guess, stakeholders from the DOT that would be involved in things like this. So myself and Highway Safety, Lee Baronis took my place in traffic, so signs, signals, pavement marking, Richard Watsky in District 5 on the maintenance side of things. And then Corey and Amanda both work for me in our safety section. And obviously the town of Kandy has a vested interest in this as well. And again, this would have, I had introductions when I actually had people with me. So why are we here? Like I said, this intersection came up as part of another project. We've had a look at this a number of times over the years. It's got a history of safety concerns and crashes. I've done a few things, but haven't really corrected it. So what's the next step? Talk about some of those previous countermeasures and what a capital improvement project might look like. And the real reason I came here, I asked to come here, was to discuss the two-way versus an all-way stop. And it's something that our perspective has changed in that as a department, because we found a couple things. We've been progressed to that point where we put in all-way stops where we resisted them for years, and we found that they've addressed the crash history. And we found that a couple of our partner states or other states have gotten some significant crash reductions by converting two-way rural intersections, two-way stop rural intersections to all-way stop. Then just open the floor for any discussion from that, and then talk about next steps. So the posted speed limits, just so we have a creative baseline, the posted speed limits are 35 miles an hour in all directions. I don't know about Old Manchester Road. I didn't find that one.
No, it was one that section is 50, and then it goes to 45.
But not right at the intersection.
Not at the intersection,
right,
but
right at the intersection.
It's like,
coming off
really?
The road, it's 35.
You got three speed limits in 2 miles?
Yeah. And then the speeds, and we have probe data now, so TomTom is the source for it, but we contracted with TomTom to get speed data for our traffic management center, but as a side benefit, we can slice and dice speed data to get actual speed conditions on any road. So the actual speed coming into the intersection from the highway is 85th percentile, 36 miles an hour coming in the other direction into the intersection, and that's probably from the convenience store to the intersection. It's 41 miles an hour, and then Old Candia Road coming within probably the area of that raised island is 25 miles an hour. Traffic volumes, probably no surprise. This traffic volume coming from the highway is a little over 6,000 vehicles a day, and that's all that one direction, because that's the off-ramp plus the other off-ramp, and all of that traffic has come in this direction. Traffic volume on 43 east of the intersection is almost 9,000 vehicles a day. The only number I could find for Old Manchester Road is 130, which seems pretty light. I couldn't find any data on that otherwise. And then Old Candia Road from, I think, in Auburn was over 3,000 vehicles a day. So it's a fairly significant number of vehicles go through this intersection every day. So the safety concerns and behavior that I'm aware of, speed, particularly on 43 approaching the intersection, people coming in too fast to adjust if something goes wrong. And the 43 geometry results in the major route turning 90 degrees through the intersection. Whoever designed this when they built 101 in the 60s and 70s, not sure what they were intending to do, but it's counterintuitive because you're really coming up to a T intersection with a fourth leg. Normally, it would be the cross traffic that would be not stop. In this case, it's
right.
That cross traffic from Old Candia Road is the lower volume. Failure to yield, I think, is the result of most of the crashes. Three different kinds of failure to yield, and I'll go through those in pictures. So you've got the Old Candia Road drivers that have stop signs in flanking direction that are going this way. They see left-turning traffic, and they think they're going to stop, so they enter the intersection into oncoming traffic. And then this westbound traffic, I've heard, is more of a lesser concern, but left-down traffic doesn't see necessarily the stop signs because they're behind another sign, and they assume that that traffic's not stopping, so they pause and, right. and there's some confusion because of that. And then the other failure to yield is the person that has a stop sign here takes a quick look, the stop sign's there, assumes there's a stop sign here, and then comes into the intersection as this person's coming left.
Right.
Those are the three that I'm aware of. If there's anything else, I'd be happy to hear about them, but that seems like that's the biggest issues we got. Like I said, previous countermeasures, we put flanking stop signs, so left and right on the approaches that are stopping. We've got stop ahead warning signs. Haven't really done anything to change the behavior. I wanted to talk about possible geometric changes or capital improvement projects to address some of the, I guess, the underlying issues. I tried to make some drawing, my CAD skills aren't what my staff looks like, so all I've got is a picture, so I'm going to point to it. But really the issue is that 43 comes here and takes a hard right. So it looks like a four-way intersection and people kind of treat it that way. So if you're going to fix that, then 43 should really be doing this kind of thing. Old Candia Road would come in as a on the outside of that, and then Old Manchester Road would somehow tie into to Old Candia Road. That would be probably the best solution. But other things would be to control this with either a traffic signal or a roundabout so that everybody would clearly know what they're going to do. And I know a lot of people don't like roundabouts, but that left turn would essentially be three-quarters of the way around the circle. You'd have to introduce a little bit of a deflection here to slow this traffic down. It would be easier for those two vehicles because if nobody's come around the circle, they'd have the right-of-way. Mm-hmm. That would be a capital project. We don't have any money set aside for this right now, so that's something that the town would have to pursue with regional planning because there's no immediate fix for this. Any questions on that before I move into the two-way, the all-way stop?
But you'd be taking up a lot of land because tractor trailers would have to go through that roundabout and everything else at that point, right?
Yeah, I mean, the way the roundabouts are designed, you have the asphalt paved surface that cars would go on is fairly narrow and sharp turns because you want to use it to slow traffic down. But inside of that, there's a truck apron.
It's called the stone one with a little lift on it.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a lift, so it discourages passenger vehicles from using it, but trucks can pull their trailers around it. And we got various design diameters to address depending on where the major flow of traffic is. So we accommodate trucks in the roundabout design.
Because the one out in Keene is so small you never...
Which one in Keene, the Winchester Street?
Just west of Keene.
Oh, the Bays Hill Road, Route 9.
Whatever, there's a shopping center in Shaw's or something,
A two-bath
But interestingly on that one, because it was coming from Chesterfield down that long hill into that roundabout, that was a concern we had because we thought people would be inattentive and speeding. So we put some geometry into that approach so they'd slow down. It's the other side that the crashes have come. Because the other side coming out of Keene, where it's all traffic signals in that shopping plaza, you've got two lanes dropped to one, so people are racing. Now all of a sudden they get to a roundabout, and they go over the middle of it.
That could happen anyway.
That works.
Sometimes, yeah.
So the two-way stop, all-way stop, and I'll go over why it's kind of a change in perspective for us. Historically, we would always look at the federal guidelines, the MUTCD. Talk about our past experience, and then North Carolina and Delaware recently got recognized for some significant safety improvements with systemic projects to change two-way stops to all-way stops. And talk about these four locations where we've, like I said before, we've kind of elevated our response to eventually get to an all-way stop because everything else we tried didn't work. So the factors to consider for an all-way stop would be the traffic volumes and all approaches, driver yield behavior with regard to all modes. You don't really have the pedestrian and bicycle traffic here, but that's a consideration. The number and the angle of approaches, approach speeds, sight distance isn't really the issue here, and then reported crash experience, I think, comes into play. Within the MUTCD, they have vehicular warrants to consider. If you remember what I had for volumes at this intersection, all three of these conditions would have to be met for the MUTCD to support an all-way stop. The vehicular volume entering the intersection from the major street approaches, and in this case they're at right angles, the total of both approaches averages at least 300 vehicles an hour for any 8 hours. I suspect that you might get close to that in this intersection, but then you'd have to combine that with the minor road approaches averaging at least 200 units, including bikes and peds, for that same 8 hours. I don't think this necessarily proves you can use lesser volumes if the 85th percentile speed exceeds 40. I had one approach at 41, so you could argue that you could use the lower volumes, but you might meet this volume and these, but we typically would look pretty hard at that before we would put an always stop in. Historically, we try to avoid that at all costs because, well, it's need to control left turn conflicts is one of the other criteria. But in our history, we've avoided always stops because a lot of cities will put always stops in every four-way intersection just to slow traffic down, and right. Stop signs are not supposed to be used to slow traffic down. And we always live by the adage that the best control is the least control. So you put a stop sign in when you have to control that intersection, but you don't elevate the always stop or signal or beyond that unless you need to. But because of that practice, we've got this growing list of intersections where we come to year after year after year, like this one, where we've tried a number of things and they haven't solved the problem. And we get to them and we look, and the sight distance is good, the traffic volumes are right. We tend to go in the better parts of the day when people are behaving themselves. Usually there's blue lights nearby and they
behave themselves.
Kind of respect that. And then we'll talk about the recent changes to always stops where the warrants were not met. This national recognition given to the two states is the one I really wanted to spend a little time on. So the Federal Highway Administration and the Roadway Safety Foundation audited late last year 10 life-saving projects. So I think that's pretty significant. I'm a traffic geek, so I tend to read those types of things. So in their announcement, they recognize innovations to protect pedestrians, cyclists, and motorists as the pandemic spike in road fatalities continues mostly unabated. They recognize 10 highway safety projects representing the very best of the nation's roadway safety practices with these awards. And out of two of the 10, that's 20%, so I think that's pretty significant, Delaware was converted 20 low-volume intersections from two-way to all-way stops. In North Carolina, I think they did more like 350 for significantly reducing the number of fatal and serious injury crashes at rural intersections. So I don't know if you can read this very well, but this is the Delaware table that shows the total crashes before and after, and the reduction, angle, rear end, single vehicle, and then all others, and then the severity, property damage only, injury, and fatal. So in the total crashes before went from 121 down to 52, so that's a drop of 57 in the total crashes. Angle crashes is 66%, and all others is 64. So those are pretty significant numbers. But I really wanted to focus on the injury and fatals. And fatals, maybe not so much. I say only 1.67 died before. That's still a fatality. But that's a pretty small number, and it's pretty random. But the injury crashes were reduced by 82% in the years before and after that change. That's pretty hard to ignore for me. I know you can't read this, but the column that's most significant is where the column that says that warrants were met, those warrants that I talked about before from the MUTCD, half of the 25 intersections at Delaware changed did not meet the warrants, which I think is pretty significant as well. It goes to show that they're doing the same thing. We met with our counterparts in both of these states virtually, and they shared their experience, and they were doing the same thing. They continued to have crashes at rural intersections where they were doing all of these other things and couldn't find a solution. North Carolina provided a slide deck of their presentation to kind of promote their success. This one I thought was pretty interesting as far as sharing the story for them. So they've got different levels of treatments, and they identified some that they have the most confident in big safety improvement, middling and scattered safety results, and then most likely missing the safety target. So the most likely missing the safety target were overhead flashing beacon, stop ahead markings. And this struck me because we've been taking down a lot of overhead beacons because we've had them for years. The wood poles either have to be replaced or removed. And we haven't solve crashes there. So that struck me as interesting. The middling and scattered safety results were the intersection conflict warning systems, which we've only got 3 pilot locations in the state, and we're not finding them very helpful, and enhanced intersection signing. So again, they're not finding a lot of success there. And just to clarify, the vehicle entering when flashing, it's called an intersection conflict warning system. So the 3 locations that we have, we've got warning signs on the major route that say traffic entering when flashing, and there's detection on the minor route that'll trigger those lights. And again, North Carolina and Minnesota were kind of at the forefront of putting those in, and they're finding that they're not very effective long term. What they found, they had the most confidence in, was the all-way stop and the roundabouts, which to me was significant that those 2 things, roundabouts generally considered one of the safer intersections we can build because everybody has to go right and everybody has to supposedly slow down to make the turns. But to put always stop in that same category was pretty significant. And they developed a matrix of where they would consider an always stop. You go back to looking where we had the traffic volumes earlier. If they've got 4,000 vehicles a day on the major road and the minor road or in that combination, they would just do it because without even any other consideration, because it expects to operate at an acceptable level of service without the need for additional capacity analysis. Up to 7,500 vehicles on both the major and the minor road, further capacity analysis may be warranted to verify the operation of the all-way stop. Above that, up to 15,000, they're probably looking at a one-lane roundabout. They'll consider always stop in this band, but probably as an interim solution until they either put traffic signals or a roundabout. So the thing to focus on is the 7,500 vehicles per day in the 2 directions. In North Carolina, they found a 68% reduction in total crashes, 77% reduction in fatal and injury crashes, and 75% reduction in frontal impact crashes. Benefits are pretty obvious as far as the cost. It doesn't take a lot of construction to put a couple stop signs in and some stop aheads. You might have to borrow a message board for a month or two to remind people that there was a change, but that's pretty cheap money in the long run. And they benefit the cost ratio, so the number of crashes reduced to the cost of putting that in is 83-1. And they also found that always stop control can be installed on primary routes without violating driver expectations or creating safety concerns. That's one of the things that we always hung our hat on in the past is if you get a fairly low volume intersecting road and a high volume major road, drivers don't expect to have to stop. But North Carolina found that they did not find that to be the case. So these are the 4 intersections that we've kind of recently changed to always stop. And I just wanted to go through those real quick because we all got very long days tomorrow. Franconia, this is Route 38 on 93 north-south. Route 18 parallels 93 through the village of Franconia. They're, I guess, commercial districts up here. Route 16 goes to Easton. And when it comes into the intersection over the river, there's a bridge. That as you come over the bridge, the first intersection you see is over here on the off-ramps. And people supposedly miss the intersection right in front of them. So you come over that bridge, that stop sign had a flashing light. There's the intersection beacon over the top, but as they come over the bridge, they're looking here, they're not looking here, and this is now that we've got an all-way stop. So we now have stopped the Route 18 approaches in both directions. I think there's an issue here where there's only one lane and a lot of this movement is right turns and people have to make 2 lanes there, but other than that, I've not heard a lot of problems with this intersection. Again, a lot lower volume than you guys have. Gilmanton 107 at 140. This is one that I didn't think would work. So Belmont to the west, Alton to the east, Barnstead, Pittsfield to the south, and Laconia to the north. This little village of Gilmanton, where just off the screen here, supposedly mm-hmm. Jack the Ripper lived when he was in New Hampshire. But we've got a town employee that we've got a state employee that lives right here, so he's very familiar with it. 140 was the intersection that had to stop, and then 107, which came down in both directions, had the free movement. There's a 5th leg here. There's a convenience store in that corner. The volumes are fairly light, but it looks like 140 actually has a higher volume than the 107 does. But it was kind of like in a free flow area where people were going towards the lakes region. One of the constraints that we had here was this store had wide open frontage. It's not open now, but we had to build a little bit of an island so we could have a place to put a stop sign on that side. And we put the stop sign here, there's a historic property there, there, and everywhere else. We kept the beacon in that case just because people are reluctant to give it up. But with the always stop, we understand that it's been working pretty well. Not too far from here in Auburn, 121, coming from Lake Massabesic, going towards Atkinson. That didn't stop, coming around the corner there, and then I don't believe the 121 northbound stopped. But there would be kind of like this intersection in Candia has, there'd be a little bit of a pause where people coming up here that were making a left thought they were going to have to yield to that oncoming traffic, because again, the main route takes that 90-degree turn. So we built a little bit of an island right here so that we could stop this traffic and now stop this traffic. We still have the channelized right turn to make the right, but everybody else is stopping coming to this intersection. One of our employees is the fire chief or on the fire department in Auburn. He said that he still sees people coming this way that'll blow through the intersection, but it's improved a lot since we've made this change. That's got a little bit more traffic there. And you can see the island and how that through and left traffic has stopped, but this continues to have the, it's a yield sign, so if somebody's coming from Hooksett Road, they're supposed to yield to them. I'm not sure how well that works.
That operates pretty smooth. I go through that a lot. So
okay.
It's pretty smooth.
We have an attorney that works for us who does our hearings, and she never, ever comments on infrastructure. She's all about administrative rules and all that, but she commutes through here to get to and from the DOT, and that's the one time that she's told me what a big change it was. So if she commented, that tells me that from a driver's perspective, it's pretty good. And then the last one, it's a lot more remote, a lot lower volume, but it was one that we kind of opposed for a long time. So Crystal Lake in Eaton is in this direction. 153 has kind of become a parallel route to Route 16 to get to Conway. It's kind of a rural winding road. It's a very nice ride, but it comes and makes this hard turn at the village of Eaton, and then there's two side roads that come off. Very low volume. I couldn't even get the volumes for it. They're so low because they don't go really through anywhere. But what was happening, this is looking south. You can see the guardrail in this house. People were coming around this corner hot and then going right into this house. So we ended up putting...
They can hooks in here, so cool.
Yeah, so we ended up putting that guardrail up to protect the porch and the structure here. One of the concerns I had was that this was kind of a wide, a free-flowing right turn, and if we didn't tighten it up, that people wouldn't stop. But from what I've seen, this direction certainly stops, and they kind of always did. Because it kind of looked like if you wanted to go that way, you had to pause for anybody going through. But this direction seems to be stopping as well. So the pros of an always stop, that it promotes safer speeds in all directions. It requires everybody to stop and reduces the odds of two drivers entering the intersection at the same time. The slower stop traffic provides a safer environment for pedestrians. It does not require a long-term commitment to flashing beacons or other stop sign enhancements and can be implemented almost immediately. The cons are it does require some re-education to drivers. And you might need some enhanced conspicuity on stop signs or flashing lights or things like that. And it does introduce minor delay for 43. And I know Jeff was talking earlier about how much traffic would back up if we put a stop sign on 43. But
the morning
probably for that yes. half an hour in the day that we get a lot of traffic.
More like about an hour and a half.
Yeah, and it might be. And like I said, there's more traffic in this location than we've had in some of the others, so we probably would want to do an analysis of that to see what it would look like. But before we did that, I told Mike that I'd like to come here. If you're going to run me out of town, we don't have to bother doing that. But if it's something that you'd consider, we can take that next step and take a look at what the backup might look like.
I have a question, Brian.
I think it's worth looking at.
Is this a priority over where 43 and 27 meet right out here by the cemetery? I thought that was our worst spot.
They're working on that.
They're already working on that.
Yeah, that's already in the
When you're in here.
This was just brought up in that meeting.
Right, the one that we had the two people, right.
Yeah, we got some attention on it, so.
Okay.
I brought that up when I had a.
But this is, okay.
That's in the program, this is not in the program.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
So you're saying this is less expensive than a rotary?
A hammer and a couple of stop signs.
Oh, my God.
Well, no, right, but I mean, but the rotary would probably be ideal at that point.
I think a roundabout would work pretty well here, but you'd have to get in the capital, and you could still do that. I mean, you could put an all-way stop today, and then it would, you'd limp along until you did a capital project.
I think there's enough real estate there to actually work with a roundabout. Whereas having a stop sign on, going to 101, that's gonna be rough.
There's real estate to do it. Keep in mind, you'd have to get into the program, and then you'd have to fund it.
Well, funding is,
10, 12, 15 years before we would do a roundabout here.
So when Delaware, you said they didn't meet all the criteria, yet they went ahead and did it. Did they have state and or federal funding when they did it, or they use their own?
They're probably using the same federal funding that I'm using, is the Highway Safety Improvement Program funding.
Okay.
So we've got about $10 million a year that we can use for that. In this case, something as simple as this, because going through federal funding, you have to do federal reporting and all that process. So we would probably
job security for somebody.
We would probably just go out and put stop signs in with our own force account. And work that way, because it would just be easier to resolve.
So basically you're saying something like this, and if it down the road, maybe a roundabout, rotary, whatever you want to call it at this point, that would be the next, well, with knowledge you have today, is what it basically.
Yeah, whoever designed that interchange in the 60s or whatever it was, they were looking at, at the time, the Interstate Highway Program was building everything wider, flatter, straighter, with painted with raised medians and all that. We're not building a lot of roads that way anymore. And I'm not sure why they put the hard right on 43. That I don't know if they thought the old Candia Road traffic was going to continue to be heavy, but it certainly hasn't resulted that. And the other thing about the stop signs, if it doesn't work. All we've invested is a couple of stop signs that we can pull a post and go back the way it is now until something else changes. Right. So.
Well, that'd really be fun.
Can you do a three-way stop?
Well, it's a three-way stop now.
Okay.
Just kidding.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Continue on.
Was that somebody at the DMV?
I'll be there directing traffic.
Yeah, so you've got this direction stops,
right?
This direction stops, and this direction stops.
But are they not stopping? Like, what's happening?
I think it's
there. Oh, they come, they blow right through from Old Candia Road.
Well, that's the problem. You got a lot of people on Old Candia Road because I think there's a couple things, and I shared that with the lady that was here, but that stop sign that is coming from Old Candia Road, you've got another sign on the back side of it. So people coming from 43, down 43, they only see about 6 inches of the top of that stop sign. So if that was fully exposed, you know, get that other sign out of there.
That seems inexpensive.
And if that stop sign on Old Candia had the illuminated lights that blink when you come up to it, I think would help. Because I've seen numerous vehicles come up Old Candia and blow right through that intersection.
Watch my
in-laws. Yeah. I did when they first changed it.
The people coming on 43 that make that left-hand turn, everybody knows if they've taken driving course, an octagon sign is a stop sign, so it should register to them saying, oh, they got a stop sign over there.
Right.
You know, they won't say stop for them, you know, but just
but
a
I think
thing.
Visually it helps them see that.
Right, but you talk about the illuminated sign as well, and Thursday I'm going down to Pelham because there's an intersection on 128. Where the state road side and town road intersect, both of those have stop signs with big flashing beacons on it, oversized, and an oversized beacon. And I'm going down because they're still having crashes. Mm-hmm. People are ignoring it. Sometimes it's not they're ignoring it so much as they get impatient. I don't know from your experience if I don't doubt that people are blowing stop signs because people are not paying attention. That's a big issue that we have. But you're also getting the crashes from people that are impatient. They stop and then just think they're gonna make it before the next.
Well, I think you may see some
of the crashes.
Yeah, I was gonna say
you don't have a lot. It's usually when it's out of town, like Deerfield Fair,
yes,
whatnot. But I've witnessed a lot of cars coming from Auburn all the time, not slowing down, go right through Little Candy, right through the stop signs, and I pull them over, and they're like, what stop signs?
So if we had a solar thing that goes around the stop sign, wouldn't that help?
So we get requests for that a lot, and we just couldn't afford to do it everywhere. So we have allowed towns to put those stop signs. Our stop sign sets the regulation, but if a town wanted to put a flashing light on it or a flashing stop sign, we could certainly allow that.
I think you need it on that one. The other two aren't the issue,
yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they're coming into that a lot slower, plus they know coming off the highway, they got to stop. They can't cross that.
Right.
But and I think golfers are coming the other way, so
yeah.
The golfers right. are coming from Old Manchester Road, right? Or,
right. Yeah. Right.
Mostly.
Well, I'm surprised.
Well, they can come from both, because some do take that Old Manchester Road, and some
go down
South Road and come up. It depends on.
No,
the road is better now on Old Manchester Road.
Yeah.
It never used to be as nice as it is right now.
Okay.
So it probably splits the traffic. Yeah.
Yes.
But they don't stop.
How much does a roundabout project cost?
Mm-hmm. Roundabout's in the probably, it's around $2 million, probably.
$2 million?
No, I thought it was
the
least.
We don't need a water fountain in the middle of it.
The last few years, the price has gone way up.
Jeff could do that for
$2,000. I'd say $2 million I'd be comfortable with.
That's now.
Because
10 years from now.
I just don't, is there that much of a problem?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
If we just try the sign, I just don't remember a lot of the
accidents. I'd be reluctant, Bill, to put the four-way stop, because that traffic from a Deerfield and what, that is, that would back all the way up to the store.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
And then you're not going to have people being able to turn into the store because it's backed up.
All right.
Come home.
It's going to end up being an issue up there.
What you're talking with that one stop sign, getting it
noticeable
from the backside, and also
the backside's tough because both of those signs have other signs that are relevant. On the one on the right coming into Old Candy Road, you can put them maybe side to side, but there's a do not enter on that one, and I think on the other sign it's a keep right, so people that are making that left go around the island, not down the wrong way.
But could they drop that sign down or put the stop sign a little higher?
That manual tells them.
Right, they got regulations on the height thing, but that's why I say get rid of it. People know you don't need that one that shows the arrow to turn here.
People know they're going there.
You know?
Yeah, and the hard part about that is if they go the wrong way, they can't really correct for a while because they're on the wrong side of an island.
That's right. They can turn around the state shed, which they do. They do in Ohio.
So I guess what I'm hearing is that, I mean, I can share with Mike the information on the flashing stop signs. I don't know from the town's perspective. Is this Southern New Hampshire or is this Rockingham?
Rockingham
Planning Commission?
Yes,
Rockingham.
No, it's Southern New Hampshire.
Southern New Hampshire, but it's Rockingham County.
So I can share with Southern New Hampshire that we've met and have that, put it on their radar for their transportation, what do they call it, their TIP, improvement plan. The regional plan, and then.
Well, how much is the sign? What are we talking about just for the sign?
The sign, I think you can get a sign, the flashing signs for, I'm going to use 500 as a round number.
Yeah, I mean, that to me is.
We don't have to wait for Southern New Hampshire.
It's going to help.
No, I'm not talking about waiting for Southern New Hampshire, but if you really want to fix this, you're going to fix this.
Right.
So that's where you probably want to start talking to Southern New Hampshire about getting in the 10-year plan. And it might not be, somebody talked about our lifetimes earlier. Might not be any of our lifetimes, but
you don't get in that line.
I'm
a realist.
You know something I don't know?
Is it painted on the road stop on Old Candy Road?
There's a stop bar.
Huh?
There's a stop bar.
There's a stop line, but it doesn't have the word stop.
Well, I mean, sometimes just
like I
like
said,
that.
We've got a lot of intersections where we keep going up the chain.
Right.
What do we do to fix it?
Did you just put those little yellow signs on there? That say, didn't those just appear there? A
couple of years ago, the signs of traffic.
Those are useless because you can't read it. They've already blown through the stop sign.
Yeah.
Well, shouldn't be going that fast.
Well.
You can't read it.
It's
too small.
It's 35 miles an hour on old.
Well, you can't read it when you're on your phone.
He's older than I am.
No, you can't read it. Definitely.
Exactly. Because my concern with a roundabout is we have a lot of trucks going to first stop. And for them to, I just picture that.
They can handle a roundabout if they're, that's designed for that.
Yeah, but that would not.
No, but not now.
The money is true.
Well, who knows what 10 years down the road is at first.
Yeah.
But yeah, we can do a lot of stuff with a stop sign. It doesn't fix what the underlying problem is.
Correct.
The underlying problem is that somebody designed this intersection. Yeah, that's an underlying problem too, but somebody designed this intersection so the major road does a 90-degree turn.
Doesn't make sense.
And that, and that's always gonna be an issue until you address the issue.
Right.
Alright.
Well, I think you've got a pretty good idea of some of our suggestions.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy your town meeting tomorrow. I'll be in ours in Bosquen all day.
I'll be in ours all day, so.
Can I interest you in a chocolate?
Thank you. Thank you.
I know you're on overtime, I know you're on overtime right now, so.
Chief.
This thing that.
Stay.
Brian, if you move. $500 can't we?
No, we don't have to pay for it.
No.
They'll do it.
They will?
Yes. It's any major construction, then we have to wait. But no, they'll do that.
I mean, if you did a four-way stop, there'd be people.
Oh, it's just we'd be backed up in the morning and.
Oh, yeah, forget it. No, it'd be all the way back to the old church. To your house, you're right, it would be.
It's for kids.
Deerfield Fair the opposite way.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Have a good night.
Have a good evening. Enjoy tomorrow.
Salted caramel. So what's next?
Steve, you waiting for our chairs?
Yes.
We should use those.
Do we have anything in other business?
No.
Nothing?
Are you guys all set for tomorrow?
Yeah. You're not gonna be around. You don't care.
We're not gonna be around.
I thought you might have been interested.
Yeah, I'll be there, and I guess you're gonna be there, and you're gonna be there when you can, right?
Do you have someone? Because you got someone, and I got someone.
I'll be down in the morning.
I'd have to leave around 5 o'clock, confirmation meeting tomorrow.
Not for very long.
No, anyhow.
There might be somebody there you can get to fill in. All right.
So they have something to sit on? I have it in the back of my truck.
Yeah. When are you going?
Later on.
Okay.
Yeah, that works.
I move, make a motion to adjourn.
No?
No.
I don't want to.
I'll second it.
Thank you. All in favor?
Russ.
Sue.
Boyd.
Brian.
Pat.
Thank you.
Get up.